You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Rendezvous with a Writer,
where writers and readers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts, Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, and the opening music was called Hot Texas. It was written and performed by our good friends, the Hot Texas Swing Band, and we have a special guest tonight.
We do. We have Susan Sirico. She is Molly's talented person and a friend of Boot, and she's going to talk about rainbows over ruins tonight.
Let's hold up her book. Susan lives in an area of California that we, this is the cover of her really, really great book, Rainbows Over Ruins. And Susan is standing by. In fact, she's probably listening. She lives in a part of California. We know that part where internet connection, right, Susan, is all can sometimes be a little wonky.
It's definitely wonky. We don't have high speed, you know, fiber yet. Right. The only thing we have is Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So we tried to do a little test to have her beautiful face with us, but we decided we'd just go with audio for Susan. So, Jim, you want to tell us a little something about her before we get started?
We have a little bio. There's a lot to talk about as far as Susan is concerned. You know, previously, she was vice president of production for Home and Family on the Hallmark Channel. She's an author. She interviews authors. She's a lifestyle coach. She's a speaker and a trainer. There's a lot of things here. Susan, tell us a little bit about those things and yourself.
About myself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. My husband and I, and you know Peter Sirico well, he's been on your show. We set off from New York City when we were both actors, and we didn't have any of these credits. And we jumped in our motorhome. And we rode all the way across country to get to Hollywood. And that just set off all the rest of the story. I've been very active throughout the years. I was a big part of my work was working with the Producers Guild. I ran, of all things, the seminar committee. And that gave me the opportunity to learn how to put these shows together, which now, all these years later, has turned into podcasts. My podcasts are available on anchor.fm, on exotv.me, and brand spanking new is a radio broadcast I do that airs in Limpopo, South Africa. And that came out of the podcast, and it's been so much fun to do all these different platforms. I just love it.
You wear a lot of different hats, even though I've never seen you in one, but you certainly have such a wide variety of experiences. And you mentioned your husband, Peter, and as I reread Rainbows Over Ruins, I'm reminded about obviously how much of your lives you have shared, like all married couples do. But you've been very much simpatico through the ups and downs of careers. And what happened that caused the birth of the book Rainbows Over Ruins? What happened, Susan?
Well, the story behind the book is our real life experience. Back 2005, so already we're in ancient history. It was a 30-day rain span here in Southern California. Just didn't give up. And I came home one night from the studio and discovered that the mountain behind the house had given way and gone through the house. And basically the house had been built into a mountain, and when the rocks came down, they ran from the foundation of the house all the way up to the roof. And when they encountered windows, they broke through the windows and allowed all the mud and debris to flow right through the house. So the house was a wreck. And when I walked in, you couldn't see it from the front. So when I walked in the front door, I didn't know there'd been a problem until I opened the door. And then the mud had come down the stairs from the second story and around onto the carpeting and filled in the living room. And my dogs were on the sofa. And they're sitting there going, "Hi, Mom, welcome home." You know? And I went hysterical and ran around trying to figure out what to do and tried to get Peter. He, of course, was at one of those winter range events. So that he was nowhere near home, and I was totally freaked out. I called for help. Neighbors came. We sat around talking, and I was just totally in shock. I didn't know what to do. How do you build up again after a landslide? What are the steps? And as I was soon to discover, there's no handbook on this. You're sort of out there on your own. In our case, we were a sole house that was affected, so FEMA doesn't kick in. Insurance doesn't kick in because they don't cover landslides. And I imagine that's something a lot of people don't know until you have one.
Sure.
It was just a real challenge. Mm-hmm. So that was what happened in order to make this all occur in the book. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually write the book until like 7 years later. And then I had some perspective on it.
Did you journal or anything during that time, Susan, so that you, when you wrote the book 7 years later, you had really good memories to grab a hold of, or did it just all come back to you?
I would say it's probably a combination. I am a journaler, and immediately after the landslide, well, not immediately, but say 18 months after that, which is the time it took us to get back into a house of our own, I took up coaching as a client. And the one assignment we had to do every day was to spend 10 minutes journaling. And so I got into the habit of journaling and writing. And so that became, I drew upon that and my memories, because the original ones are pretty profound. They don't go away. But the journey that I took evolved over time. It was actually a spiritual journey to get from a disaster and having to rebuild our lives and learning all the things you can learn. I studied with Sharon Wilson, who was a spiritual life coach. I studied with Bob Proctor, who was a world famous, coach and trainer, specializing in Napoleon Hill and success principles, and then several other people along the way. And finally, I didn't publish until 2012. So it was a 7 year process to write the book.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things that you share in the book are really very moving. And the description, we walk through that house with you. I think any reader, you do such a wonderful job of taking us with you through the house. And you both were quite collectors. Peter's business is a Western, very much a Western history sort of based business. And you wrote about how every nook and cranny, I look around our house, every nook and cranny.
Yeah, things, isn't it, right?
So you had a lot to, like anyone through these catastrophes, you had great loss, but you also were able to recover some. And you had a lot of, what did you call them? God moments, God winks, God,
God shots, God winks. Both the same things that happened that just they needed to happen for us to move forward. Mm-hmm. And looking back at them, you can see it. Those things did occur. And then the one that some of them have sort of faded away over the years, but the one that really stands out to me is that after we moved into the house where we are now up in the mountains, we have a jacuzzi out back. And one day we're sitting there and Peter said to me, "We are so lucky." And I said, "No, we're not lucky. We are blessed." Mm-hmm. And we came to understand that we had been blessed by disaster, and all of the pieces that needed to happen for us to come here happened in due time. They just happened. We didn't know what to do, but they happened. So,
you know, you had to find a place to live pretty quick. What did you do about that?
Well, we had the first thing we did was, as I mentioned, I called the church, and one of the women in the church, one of the deacons, invited us to stay in a spare bedroom they had. And so we moved in for 6 weeks, and I didn't take very much with me. I mean, we were on the run, really. But I did take a copy of Wayne Dyer's book, There Is a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. And I took our computer. I took a statue that was a bronze that we were very fond of. I took a box of books that Peter had just had published, and they were sitting on the floor to be rescued. And, you know, those are the kinds of things I took with me. And that became my support system for the next 6 weeks until we could find a place to live. And we rented a house that was, we call it the Pink Palace because it had pink tile floors. I mean, marble floors, not just pink tile, pink marble floors. And we lived there for what would be about a year and a half.
I got it. You know, how did Peter handle all this? You know, was he was he pretty good in nature? He said, I'm going to go play golf or something, or what?
Peter is his, you know, he's his own personality. You know that because you know him well enough.
Yes, he is.
But
we know
he
him.
Had, when he finally did get home, I called him, right? I get hold of him finally on the phone. I say, you have to come home now. And he's like, if you could feel long distance, he's patting me on the head going, you're fine. Don't worry about it. They're like, no, you have to get home right now. And so he started coming back, you know, from Arizona. And so it was hours before he got here. Yeah. The first thing he did, and this is so Peter, all of the utilities in the house worked. So the first thing he did was to walk into the house, pull the electrical cables out of any muddy, wet stuff that they might be in, so that he could turn on the TV set.
And I can see him with that cigar, and he's wearing a yes. Buffalo Bill beaded jacket with shorts, and right? And he's just, give me my Western, and I'll
yes.
give me yes. like 10
yes.
minutes.
He's got to watch his TV
in.
Program. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, we had no idea of the nature, the full nature of the damage at that point. Right. I didn't want to sleep in the house. I was absolutely terrified of it. And he didn't want to leave it because he had so much stuff in the house. Mm-hmm. In the morning, that morning, the fire department came out and declared it red tag, which in California vernacular is condemned.
Yeah, stay there. Yeah.
And we, you know, we weren't permitted to stay there any longer, really. But, you know, Peter had all this stuff that had to get out of the house. And the firemen literally formed a chain, like an old-fashioned, you know, move the buckets down the line to fight a fire. And they carried things from the house into a big truck we had. One by one, until we got everything necessary out of the house, and it was just a phenomenal thing that they did for us, because it was, you know, we couldn't have left it. We just could not have left those things in the house.
And yet that disaster really, you guys had really outgrown that house, and you were beginning to have some different dreams, which we're going to talk about, what you were both beginning to think about. And you kind of needed to let loose of it, didn't you? So maybe it was somewhat providential that you had no choice. You had to move on.
One way or the other, we were being told now is the time. Absolutely.
Exactly. We're going to take a short, brief moment, Susan. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about what you're doing now. We're going to talk a little bit about books and interviewing authors. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this word from Out West Bookshop affiliate page. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer, explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Our special guest tonight is Susan Chirico.
Calling in from California, the land of earthquakes, indeed, mudslides, and wonky internet.
Particularly mudslides.
You know, I like the wonky internet part best.
You know, for years and years and years, when we lived in California, and maybe before California, and after New Mexico, there were always, every year, many, many stories about landslides and houses going off the cliff and people losing their homes. And it's kind of like we didn't know anybody, so how big a deal is that? But when you know somebody that's lost their home, it's kind of like, you know, this is real.
So you picked up your lives, and you had maybe kind of like a first, I don't know if I'd call it a dream exactly, Susan, but you felt a need to get authors on a platform and get them out there. What went on to urge you to step forward and have your own programming interviewing authors?
Life is sometimes a melange of things that make it happen. One of the things I had published, obviously, Rainbows Over Ruins. So I was an independently published author, and thrown into the mix of how authors market their books. How do people learn about what they do? And there's a whole sub-industry there in which you are approached by a bazillion people trying to tell you they can publish your book, they can make more money for you, they can do this and that and another thing. And it was kind of intimidating for me. I had a publisher. I didn't need to move, but I was still getting these phone calls. At the same time, I was working as the executive in charge of production for Home and Family. And we had authors on the show every day. We had their publicists, you know, there working with us. We had, you know, infinite conversations with them and producers who were asking them questions and creating stories just like we're doing now. And I got to see how that part of it worked, and how challenging it was to actually work with a publicist and find one and get airtime. And most of these people, I assumed, were more like me, who had never done it before. And so it just felt like it was something that needed to be done, and I had a perspective at least to do it. And then I had COVID hit, and that was sort of the last straw. Our show was shut down, as so many others were. I mean, everything in town was. And it would be 6 months before we'd get back on the air, and we didn't know when or where that would be. So I was talking to my agent in New York, and I said, you know, I would love to interview authors. This is something that I understand. I understand the need. I understand how valuable a digital link to a podcast can be for an author who has no other way to reach out into the community. And so I began my podcast with they have a platform on which they can be heard. They can send that link to that podcast to anyone and everyone they know. And through that, and on top of that, people they don't know, businesses, churches, schools, libraries, if any clubs and organizations, book writing clubs and book fairs, they can get the word out on their own, which is a phenomenal thing to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And so that became my quest, to get that out there. And as I worked with other authors, I discovered where the pitfalls were in the whole system of independent book writing. Mm-hmm. So that you really are a victim of how challenging this can be. Mm-hmm. And that in independent publishing, you pay the bill. There isn't a publisher who comes in and gives you an advance against your royalties, which is the traditional way. Mm-hmm. Independent authors have to foot the entire bill. They pay the publishing. They pay all the promotion. They pay, you know, for copies of their books. Yeah, it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I was really motivated to help them.
You know, part of the beauty of podcast or live interview that then, like this show, becomes its live interview, but then there'll be links and it'll live forever. I have found over our years with authors on previously the Writer's Block and now here too, is it kind of, as somebody that's been interviewed, if you've been interviewed, so to our authors that might be listening out there, if you've been interviewed, remember that that can be new content regularly. Even if you were interviewed, you know, 3 years ago, you can pull out that link and blog about it, put it on social media, send an email blast, because you'll have new audiences that didn't know you 3 years ago. And I think that these are all great tools that don't just live the day that interview happened. It's kind of up to you as the guest somewhere to keep it alive, keep using it, you know, keep promoting. Would you say that's kind of true, Susan?
I absolutely agree with you. In fact, part of what I do when I do my interviews with new authors is to go through this process with them and teach them, you know, this is how you make the most of this. Because there is no publisher who is going to spend as much time promoting your book as you will. And so it becomes really important that you're doing your part. I also suggest that and just to your other point about, you know, how long things last, I have podcasts I did when I first started coaching back in 2012, 13, 14, that are still on, you know, available on the internet at Blog Talk Radio, which was my first home. So it is a very, you know, it's like they're there forever, and everybody you interview is available forever through that link that they have to that site. And then there are other things I recommend they do. You know, if you want to find something you can do outside of your book itself, if you can do a little presentation to community groups, if you can make a point of winning, going to women's clubs or PTAs or, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, the list goes on and on and on. If you can do that, the audience has a chance to get to know, like, and trust you, which is one of the keys to selling anything. And then you have your books there to autograph, make available for sales. You can hand out flyers about what else you're doing. And it's a wonderful way to do business and grow your business. You can focus on library sales, which is phenomenal, because every book that goes into a library is handled, they estimate, about 200 times. That's really? 200 opportunities to build an audience by just selling a book to a library.
Wow,
so there
that.
Really is That's another whole dimension here that benefits authors to know.
Yeah. Jim has a question.
Yeah, I have a question here. When you first started, how did you find authors to interview?
Yeah.
Or how did they find you?
How did you get started on that?
Actually, my agent helped me tremendously because they would let their authors know that I was doing this and would they like to participate. And that's how I got most of my authors in the beginning. And then I just make a point of talking to people all the time. If somebody comes up to me and tells me they have a book they've just done, I say, let me read it. Let me find out about it. And likewise, I began to, I wanted to teach more because this is such a ripe topic for new authors. So I started to interview people who were best-selling authors who had written about the idea of how you become an author yourself. I interviewed people who were screenwriters and talked and taught how people could write screenplays. I interviewed people who had created TED Talks and now have the one woman I know is she now owns a business in Florida that prepares people to do a TED Talk. And that's another whole subcategory of training to know how to present. There are so many ways that I started getting different people.
If you go to Susan's you may have more than one website, but I'm just going to mention, if you go to susanshirako.com, the first thing that comes up on the homepage is really directed at authors. Increase your brand as an author through coaching. And so you offer some of these tips that you've just shared, Susan. You actually an author can actually work with you for coaching. What is there anything else you'd like to kind of say about that before we take another short break?
Well, I think what I realized when I, you know, as I was started developing both sides of this, the new coaching work I'm doing at Brave Thinking Institute while I was developing the podcast. And in that case, I discovered that authors are building dreams. And the first program we teach is a dream building program. And it's really, I found it so important for authors to learn the process of building their dreams. Because writing a book is not just about writing a book. There are so many other steps that follow through from there, and it helps to really know how to create a vision that takes you where you want to go. And that's what mm-hmm. I do with authors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that you would be willing to work with someone who is maybe not confident enough yet to actually write or to move the move the manuscript forward, because I think lots of folks would love to get that, you know, they're not comfortable with, do I have what it takes, or, you know, is this something that's worth pursuing? So do you also work with people?
I do. I work, you know, you take people where they're coming from. Uh-huh. I'm not going to write the book for anyone. I'm not going to dictate how they are going to, or what kind of presentation they're going to do. I've had really strange requests, people who created a book that really isn't a book, but it's a graphic novel, or it's, you know, they want it to be a movie, but it's not a movie. It's a, you know, it's something else entirely. It should be in a gift shop. I mean, there are, I try to work with people to work on their vision of what they're really trying to create, and then figure out what's the plan forward. How are you going to move it forward? What are the steps you need to take, and break them down at each level so they can go forward.
Wonderful. We're going to take another short break. And then, Susan, when we come back, let's just continue this talking about your work as a transformational life coach, which may not be exactly the proper term, but we want to get into that with our next segment. So here's a little word from our sponsor, OutWestShop.com.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer on LA Talk Radio. By the way, when you shop at outwestshop.com, you can use coupon code RADIO and save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more. And another thing you can do when you're there, on the toolbar, there's a selection, Out West Live. If you click on that, there's a drop-down menu, and you will find all the different radio shows that we do, including Rendezvous with a Writer. And when you click on it, you'll get the list of who we have coming up right through April of next year. And you'll also see links to all of the interviews that we've done so far. And you could be listening while you shop. Isn't that fun?
We're talking with Susan Sirico tonight and her book, Rainbows Over Ruins. You know, I want to make sure our listening audience out there, you know, when we try to find her website, her last name is Sherayko. We want to make sure you find Susan. Yeah.
So do you want to go
thank
ahead
you
and
for
ask,
that.
Do you know, Susan, I'm going to tell you a very quick story that your husband may or may not have told you. The very first year he was with us at the Buckaroo Bookshop at Melody Ranch as part of the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, I spelled his name incorrectly on a huge poster. And it haunted me when I realized it. And it wasn't anything that could be corrected. It was on a big banner, you know, that was hanging from, you know. I was so, you can imagine, right, how embarrassed. And I went up to him because I thought, I need to come clean. I don't want him to see it and come to me. And he just looked at that and chewed on his cigar. He's, oh, so what? They know who I am. Or something like that. And, oh, my goodness. He gave me the greatest blessing. I was stressing over that more than anything that we had going to be going on that weekend. And I've never spelled it incorrectly since.
It's unforgettable. It's in your mind now.
Well, we want to get
He's pretty relaxed about those things.
We want to go ahead and get into you now sharing with us more about being a life coach and things like brave thinking and dream building. Just tell us all about that, Susan.
Oh, that's a big topic to talk
about. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's too much to know.
Let's see, you have about 9 minutes.
Let's narrow that down a little bit.
Yeah, 9 minutes. Okay, well, I could do this in 9 minutes. Basically, when I was home. This is one of those things where I've been studying this material for 35, 37 years, something obscene like that, and but it was always a separate compartment of my life from my work in television. And after this, I made several attempts to try to do more of it, but TV is so all-consuming in terms of time that it just couldn't seem to bring the two together. And when COVID hit, I've had this perfect opportunity to recertify and re-immerse myself full-time into the coaching work, which I did for the 6 months that we were off. By that time, I was a certified life mastery consultant, which is part of the Brave Thinking Institute's coaching program. And that was so wonderful a process for me to get into it. And then to start reaching out and learning from scratch, really, how does one build a whole new business? And I'm so fortunate because Brave Thinking is, the Institute is so supportive of their coaches, of their students. They have made the job really, really easy to do. And so I absolutely adore them and I adore working with them. But the key to this was that as a transformational life and business coach or consultant, you can choose the word you want, my focus is on what I already know is a reliable, repeatable, proven system that helps people move from the situations and circumstances and conditions in which they find themselves to create the lives they love. And there are proven tools and techniques. They've been proven over 40 years now of training. Probably I would think it's closer to 50. And it starts with something as simple as a vision. And, we talk about when Peter and I had the landslide, we had a vision. We didn't mention what the vision was earlier, but it was to build a movie ranch. And we went through a whole bunch of steps that we didn't even understand at the time that actually allowed us to move into that space. What is true for everyone is true for us. You have a vision, and in the process of having that vision, you know where you want to get to. You know where you are, and you know where you want to be. And there's a gap between them. And so much of the coaching process is helping people get through that gap so they can arrive at the other end. A lot of people get discouraged and quit if they don't have support. That's why I say I love Brave Thinking Institute, because they have such phenomenal support. So, that's been the work that I started doing. I provide a lot of it initially is offered pro bono or free, because we really want people to understand what it is that will help them. So I do a vision workshop, which is where I explain the basics of the first few steps in detail of what we call a Dream Builder program. And then I also offer an opportunity to meet with me one-on-one, again, totally free, in order to pick their own plan. What is it they want to do? How do they get there? And this is a process that's building. And if they see it really fits with them, then they have an opportunity to enroll in a full program, which really takes them. It's a 3-month program. It builds into a 1-year program if you want to do the whole, five or six other classes that are offered. It's really a long-term life-changing, program, because it deals with how you think. How we change how we're thinking can transform our lives. Wayne Dyer used to talk about that, change your thinking, change your life. And I use the word transform because there really is this movement from some one form into another, and that's who you become. I have, you know, as I look at it, I also do, you know, the podcasts, of course, are part of that because I think so much of what I say in the podcast feeds into other people and how they get their life done. And I know, you know, when we were talking, Bobby Jean, we were looking at, you know, it's the time of year right now. It's a perfect time to be talking because we're looking at the end of the year, and most people are familiar with, you know, doing their New Year's Eve resolutions. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part. That's very much what we're really looking at when we do transformational coaching. Mm-hmm. What are your goals? Where are you going to be? Mm-hmm. But instead of doing them year by year, well, this year I'm going to get a new car and I'm going to get a new job and this, we ask people to look farther out. What's mm-hmm. your big dream? Mm-hmm. What do you really want to accomplish?
And well, you know, when we were chatting the other night, Susan and I also shared that I have found this year, this time between Christmas and New Year's, to be very kind of soul searching. I don't know. It feels unique for some reason this year. It's maybe because of things that we've lived through this past year. Friends that were happily married that have moved into being a widow or a widower. Seeing people dealing with medical and aging challenges that a year ago were not even on the horizon. And so I've had some time this week to really be thinking back over, actually probably from sort of the beginning of COVID 2020 to now, and trying to figure out, okay, here's the footsteps that got us to where we are now, and what do we need to do to prepare for life's challenges that we no longer can naively think aren't going to come our way.
Well, that's true. I mean, I was working with someone just today, and when she knows that she lives by herself, and where's she going to go when she's too old to live in the outside community, when she needs the support of mm-hmm. some sort of an aging center? Mm-hmm. Has she done the planning she needs to do to be able to even get there? Mm-hmm. And that's a big, you know, that's a big thing to have hanging over your head when so many people are still, you know, paycheck to paycheck. How are they going to maneuver all of these things?
Hello. Well, like I said the other night, I think I'm a little Scarlett O'Hara. Yeah. I'll think about that tomorrow, you know, like
that's
today,
right.
You know, we got a full day of plans. We got deadlines. We got this, we got that. Oh, I'll think about that. You know,
that's right. That's right. We can avoid. We don't need to talk about that. We may not live long enough to worry about it. But you know, for those who, you know, that's not a way to look at life. You know,
no.
I firmly believe that when you are, if you're still breathing, God has a plan for you. He's got something you're still meant to do. And you don't know what it is necessarily, but you may have a desire or a preference for what it would be. Mm-hmm. And so the process of whether it's aging or it could be at any point in life. I mean, there is not a time when you're not dreaming and planning for something else that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Jim's got a question. Jim wants to jump in with a question.
It's kind of a thought. You know, we briefly started, as we started the session, we talked about New Year's resolutions, which we all seem to know something about. Mm-hmm. We all seem to put some, you know, come up with a couple, and we all seem not be able to follow through on any of them. So probably something of what you do would take serious New Year's resolutions and actually make it work.
Yeah, they're more like, what would they be, affirmations? Yeah. What's a better word, Susan? Because resolutions.
There are. It's not, right. Affirmations is a good word. I mean, it's part of the process. Uh-huh. But you, in order to affirm anything, you have to have an idea of what it is you want to affirm. We talk about four different quadrants of life. You know, we have our physical being, our physical lifestyle, you know, how we like to live. We'd all like to be healthy. No one really wants to be ill. And so there are, there are things we could do. And you can, there's a way of sourcing ideas. It's part of the activation process for the work we do in transformation, which is to think about not only the, I want to be healthy, but what can I do to become healthy? And allow those ideas just to pour through you till you have a laundry list. And which ones make you feel excited? Which, you know, I'm going to go lift weights. Oh, that would not do for me. So what would I like to do? You know, what would make me happy? Maybe I can't dance anymore, but I can go walk around the block every day. Right. I can make that list grow. You know, I can grow farther or go farther every day as I progress. And find what makes your heart sing. What would you love to do? The same with relationships. We have, you know, there's a starting point for everyone. If you don't have a good relationship and you're looking for one, where do you start? Do you want to dare to do online dating? Are you afraid of that? Or is there a church organization or someplace in town that, you know, meetups that used to happen. I don't know if they're still around, but they are a place where people can come together with common interests and meet new people. And maybe that's the beginning of a new relationship or an improved relationship. Maybe you have, you know, you can get into what's the biggest thing. Maybe you have a sexual problem and you want to deal with that. Well, then there are ways you can source ideas for how to do that. That becomes an important part of the whole process of looking ahead, not just 1 year, but 3 years, 5 years,
right?
So that the dream is bigger.
Right. So transformational life coaching isn't necessarily just something for authors pursuing their careers or someone in business pursuing and wanting to grow whatever their business might be. It's really all about what do you want out of your life? What are the dreams that you
absolutely
have? You could be retired
absolutely
with no business.
I mean, work is an important part of that, Bobby.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's, and also, you know, the time and money freedom, that's a catchphrase for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That you have things you want to do, you want to give to organizations, you want to travel, all those things. You want to include that in your, what you want to do too, because it's a holistic picture of our lives.
We're going to take another last break moment, and this is about our good friends, Richard Polinelli and Jim Christina, who, Jim, if you were with us today, we'd be wishing you a happy birthday. We always keep you in our heart. These two gentlemen started their own publishing house a while ago, and it is still very much very active. Let's hear from Tuscany Bay Books.
Hey everybody, Richard Polinelli with Tuscany Bay Books, and if you're a reader looking for the next best adventure for your summertime reading or, you know, coming up on the winter, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com and check out our amazing bookshelf filled with books by some of the best authors out there in science fiction, fantasy, mystery thrillers, westerns, you name it. We've got something for you to read. And if you're an author who has just finished your manuscript and you're looking for a publisher, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Fill out our submission form. We'll take a look at it and we'll see if we can get you published and get you doing what you should be doing, which is writing your very next book. TuscanyBayBooks.com, that's your place to go if you're a reader or a writer. And now back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.
Welcome back. We're interviewing Susan Sherako, a friend and author. We're talking about her book, Rainbows Over Ruins. We're also talking about our counseling program, our life coach program, and we're running out of time, so we're going to have a quick question.
Yeah, so Susan, do you have a final sort of a parting quote, and then how can people find you where they can sign up for your services or workshops?
Okay, well, I guess the thing that we didn't touch about is the importance of your imagination. And it's good for writers, it's good for everyone, is that you want to see yourself in the vision of your life. What are you wearing? Where are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? Because though images like that you can see in your mind's eye are the things that make you fall in love with your idea and make it worthwhile pursuing. And that's, I think that's the when you have that kind of connection to your vision, all sorts of opportunities start to come to you, and you can decide to do them and see it happen. It's sort of like sowing seeds. You mm-hmm. sow the seeds, and yeah. then you water them, and you weed yeah. out the weeds, and you let the sprouts grow until they are ready for harvest. And that is, you want to keep have enough things going on around your dream that it will happen for you. And that's what we do in transformational work, yeah. is to make
and
it happen.
And don't let those weeds get in the road either.
I think, Susan, I think we need offline, we need to make an appointment to chat with you.
All right, that's good. You can always contact me at susan@susanshoreco.com. And you can find, it's part of the website as well, but you can learn a lot about what I offer and talk to me personally at that point.
And one more time, I'm just holding up the book since Susan cannot see what we're doing until she goes to Facebook, LA Talk Radio's Facebook page to see. But one more time, we're holding up Rainbows Over Ruins. And this is actually available through our bookshop affiliate page, where you can see a listing of all of the books of the authors that we have on the show. And Susan, we have been just delighted to have you with us. We really thank you for your time. Please give your husband, Peter, send him our love and our best wishes for the two of you to have a fabulous 2023. I can't wait to see what's in store. Do you have a coach yourself? Do you work with a mentor to help you keep your dreams alive?
I do. I do it constantly. It's part of it's a senior master at the Brave Thinking Institute that I work with. I use it as a mastermind, so that there's a certain routine and we're always asking questions and urging each other on. It's really very powerful to do that.
Well, we want to say again a thank you to our guest, Susan Shireko. We want to say thank you to all of you that may be tuned in on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, or you're going to listen to podcast links or video links down the road. We thank you for riding along with us. Want to thank Sam Hassan and LA Talk Radio that make this possible, and say Happy New Year to you, Sam. And to the Hot Texas Swing Band for providing tonight's music. And our guest next week, Jim, is...
Frank Weber.
Yes, Frank Weber, and the book, we're going to be kicking off 2023. The book is Black and Blue. It is the true story of the search for a 19-year-old Sadie Sullivan's killer. And I understand it's an amazing mystery thriller. And we're looking forward to getting into it, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
You have a parting quote for tonight. Who is your quote from?
Well, I think the fellow some of the topics we've been talking about tonight, I think our fellow right here fits right in, Napoleon Hill. And he has said, one of his many quotes is, whatever the mind of man can conceive of and believe in, it can achieve.
So on behalf of Jim and myself, we wish you a very happy new year and keep reading. And until we meet again next week in the new year, it's what?
Always
a great day out west.